When therefore Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Bowing his head, he offered up his spirit. Jesus has been on the cross for hours now. In his last word from the pulpit of the cross, he had said, "I thirst." The single verse between that statement and this one tells us that a bowl full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the wine vinegar on hyssop and held it up to his mouth. Well, that meshes with the previous word, which was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In which the bystanders thought that when he had said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, he was calling for Elijah to come and rescue him. John doesn't give us that word. And since no one author of the Gospels gives us all of the words that we find, we piece them together. Piecing them together partially obscures and excludes the context, and we have a hard time getting all of the flow, even though we've been able to put most of it together. But history holds for us that John 19:30 is the sixth word, that word in which he says, "It is finished." He has received the sour wine, which fulfills the scripture, which even in his state of agony he was intent to fulfill, and he fulfills that word. But what is the intent of the word, "It is finished"? It's one word in the Greek Testament, tetelestai. Tetelestai. It's all he said. That one word captures it. One of the beautiful elements, though, of the language of the New Testament is its expressiveness. The writers or the speakers of the New Testament can take a word and they can change its emphasis or its meaning by the tense that they choose or the mood that they choose to use. In this case, Jesus uses the perfect tense. With the perfect tense, he is describing an action that is completed in the past but has produced a present condition. For instance, a president is elected in November. It's a past action, but that action has an impact on the present. Even though he was elected in 1 November, he is the president now. It's something done in the past that impacts today. The emphasis is not so much on the past action. If he wanted the emphasis to be what was done in the past, he would have chosen a different tense and a different mood. But yet, the emphasis is on the present condition. What was finished at the cross affects us today. What Jesus did on a cross 2,000 years ago impacts us and everyone on the globe today. To really appreciate what Jesus is saying, we need to understand this word. Sometimes understanding a word begins by understanding what it does not say. It is not a statement of resignation, of giving up, as this is all that he can do. He is not saying it is finished just so that he can conclude it, so that it can be over. He is not just trying to get done. It's not a statement of relief that the task is over. Have you ever had to tackle an unpleasant task? You know, it could be as simple as cleaning a dirty toilet or as complicated as emptying the house of a deceased loved one. Neither task is pleasant, even though they are vastly different. There's a real sense of declaring it is finished when you are done, but it is a finish of relief, of getting done with an unpleasant task. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He is saying so much more. His declaration of being finished is much more positive. It's much more like the University of Connecticut declaring it is finished after the college basketball season when they have won the women's and the men's national championship, in contrast to Notre Dame women or Kentucky men saying, "It's finished." Not the outcome they wanted. But yet with Jesus, it is finished. The rendering in almost every translation is, it is finished. It means that, but however, a better way to say it may be this though, it is accomplished. It is accomplished. The word Jesus uses, it means to carry it out, to fulfill it, to carry out the will of somebody else. It could be your own will, but yet it's carrying out the will of somebody else. And it has a religious connotation to it, as though it's a part of religious practice and fulfilling your obligations of carrying out religious acts. What he is carrying out is the purchase of salvation for all people. So when we translate it, it is finished. In some ways, we're selling it a little short. We're not saying everything with that statement that we could say, but when we give the bolder statement of it is accomplished, we're better. It is a better way to say it. Jesus didn't just finish something. He accomplished atonement, redemption, salvation. That leads us to our next thought. When Jesus said, it is finished, what is it that he accomplished? Jesus' mission, in his own words, was to seek and to save those who are lost. He tells us in Luke 19:10 that it is his mission. His mission was to save those who are lost. He describes them in numerous ways. Luke 15 is filled with three stories about that which is lost being found. It begins with a lost sheep. The shepherd has counted his sheep and he's missing one, and the 99 are there, and he locks them up and leaves other shepherds to care for them, and he goes to look for the one. When he finds the one, he picks up the sheep and he carries it home. He and the other shepherds celebrate. They know the importance of finding even one lost sheep. And then Jesus continues with a story about a lost coin. There's a woman who loses a coin. Now, you may not even blink over a lost coin. You may not even bother to bend over and pick one up off the ground when you find one or you drop one. This woman cleans the house. She cleans it from top to bottom in order to find her lost coin. And when she finds that which is lost, she goes and tells her friends and they celebrate with her. The climax of these three stories is the one of the son who has become lost. The father sees him coming from a long way off. That means he was looking for him. He was searching just as the shepherd and the woman did. When he sees him coming, he runs to him and he welcomes him home. He throws him a party. He's so glad that he's there. Jesus is all about finding the lost and making sure they are saved. But that cannot be done without the cross. Jesus accomplishes revelation. He fulfills the full revelation. The author of Hebrews tells us, in many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. God had spoken to his people over the centuries. He spoke through Adam and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. He spoke through Moses and Joshua and Samuel and David. He spoke through Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea and Obadiah and Nahum. Then, after all of that, after all of those attempts of communicating his full story to us, then God gives the full explanation. God gives the full and complete revelation. God gave his son, Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Messiah. As Peter finally got it. the full and complete revelation of God to us. From God to us as people, as His people, as His creation comes in Jesus. Apart from the cross, the full revelation is not given. Without the cross, we do not get the full story. And so when Jesus says it is finished, He is saying He has accomplished the full revelation of God to humanity. Jesus is also saying that He has accomplished our atonement. Atonement is a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. God's people have been doing that for many years through the sacrificial system God had given them. They would sacrifice an unblemished lamb for the forgiveness of their sins. We read the context of that earlier in the service. This process had to be repeated time and time again. It was repeated annually. It would have been repeated all over again in Jewish homes on Tuesday at Passover. It was fitting with the partial revelation under which the people lived. That partial revelation that was not complete until they came to Christ. It was fitting that they would have an atonement through the sacrifice of a lamb on an annual basis. Because they needed it over and over and over, because they didn't have the full story yet. But now Jesus has accomplished a full revelation and also accomplishes a full atonement for us. This is full and complete. It no longer has to be repeated. He is the Lamb of God. He is the perfect sacrifice because He has lived as a man and done so perfectly and completely. Because He has been tempted just as we are, and yet He did not sin. He has become the full sacrifice that accomplishes our redemption. We are redeemed from our sin. We no longer have to bear the burden of what our sin does to us. Our sin separates us from God. We are not perfect. We do sin. Our sin separates us from God, so we need something that brings us to God. Jesus accomplished that for us. Your sin does not have to keep you separated from God. You do have to have faith in Jesus. Jesus has provided for our redemption. He is the atonement for your sin. You have to believe and receive. If you do not believe, then what He has accomplished does not have an effect in you. What He did at the cross doesn't have an impact on you yet. But there's still time if you haven't yet believed. Jesus said in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of my Father and to accomplish His work." There's that word, accomplish. Jesus used it again in John 17:4, where He said, "I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work which You gave Me to do." Jesus has accomplished the word the Father gave Him to do. Therefore, He says, it is accomplished. Now, Jesus bows His head. This is not a sign of weakness. This is a deliberate act. No, he writes it in a way to say, wasn't though as though He couldn't keep His head up any longer and so it flops down. No, Jesus, with purpose and with intent of accomplishing what the Father has given Him to do, bows His head. It's a reflection of what Jesus has already told us in other places. In John 10:18, Jesus says, "I have the authority to lay down my life." He tells us that He gives His flesh for the life of the world in John 6:51. He declares in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." Caiaphas, who was the high priest, said, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish. As John continues writing after recording the statement from Caiaphas, he writes, now, he did not say this on his own initiative, speaking of Caiaphas, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. Jesus said it was time for the Son of Man to be glorified in John 12, and then proceeded to say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. But Jesus also said, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, you are my friends. You are my friends. If. Have you ever noticed that some of the smallest words in the English language have such impact? If, but, and. Words like that. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus is accomplishing what he has been describing throughout his ministry. The crucifixion is not some mistake. It is not a good plan gone bad. The crucifixion is the plan. It is deliberate. Jesus is very much in control. He has yielded himself to the will of the Father. All of it for our good. Let's pray.